from Score Golf, Jason Logan, joins us. Jason, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. First of all, give me your thoughts. How does Dillette's game match up for this weekend in your mind?
I think overall that Graham will have a really good game moving forward for U.S. Opens, just because he's such an accurate driver of the golf ball and such an accurate iron player. He's number one on the tour in ball striking, which is really a combination of driving accuracy, distance, and greens and regulation. The thing that always trips up Graham and has for most of his career is just he doesn't make enough putts. He doesn't make enough 15 or 20 footers. But you know what? He makes a lot of pars, and he's always in play, and maybe he won't need to make a lot of 20-footers this week, because it's not going to be a tournament where, you know, 10-under, 12-under, even 2-under, 3-under wins a tournament. It's likely going to be even par or higher than that. So that being said, I mean, it is his first U.S. Open, so he's got that to deal with. But I think overall his game does suit a U.S. Open well.
When you look at the rest of the top guys going into this, who does the course set up especially well for in your mind?
Well, two guys come to mind right off the bat, and the first is Adam Scott. I mean, it's easy to say he's the number one player in the world right now, and really he's probably been playing the best golf of anyone over the last 18 months or so. But Adam Scott is another phenomenal driver of the golf ball. He's long, he's straight, you know, he's one of the top iron players in the game. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes anymore. He's patient now, he's a major champion now, and he's the number one player in the world now, and he doesn't have that Tiger Woods stigma to deal with, because Tiger's obviously not there, and because Tiger has fallen off a little bit in the last couple of years. And the other guy is Rory McIlroy, just because he's such a dynamic player. Rory, like Adam, has an ability to hit long irons extremely high. And on these almost upside-down bowl-like greens that Pinehurst has that Donald Ross designed 100 years ago and have been restored now, you're going to have to be able to land the ball softly in order for it not to roll off into some of these collection areas around the green. So those two guys right away stand out to me.
Do you like those type of greens?
You know what? I've played in and around Pinehurst. I haven't played number two. And I played in Australia in the Sandbelt courses, and it's very, very similar. And I think it's so great. It's so much fun to let these guys have their creativity come to the forefront. And if you miss a green, it's not all about just the big high flopper to get back on it. There's a number of different routes you can take. You can bump the ball up. You can flop it. You can play, you know, a sand wedge, a 6-iron, a 7-iron. And I think it's great that creativity is going to be one of the aspects that serves golfers well this week, for sure.
What is it I'm reading about the greens at Pinehurst number two, with some British Open style greens or some contrast? We got some brown greens and some green greens. What's happening with that?
Well, this is all by design. I mean, moving forward, this is, you know, and if you're watching on TV this week and you don't see an emerald green golf course and you think something's wrong, something's not wrong. This is the way that Pinehurst was intended to be back in the late 18 or the late 1900s when it was designed. It's supposed to play firm. It's supposed to play fast. They're not going to saturate it with a lot of water. It really was intended to be like, not necessarily a British Open course, but like those Sandbelt courses in Australia, in Melbourne. And there's nothing wrong with the playing conditions. You know, the players have said this week that hitting off the brownish turf is perfectly fine. Aesthetically, some people not like it, but, you know, with environmental concerns and water restrictions moving forward, becoming a pressing issue in golf, this is what you're going to have and embrace it, and I think it's great.
Jason Logan from Score Golf joined. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. And, you know, it'll impact golf in many different ways. You know, you mentioned the absence of Tiger Woods. And, you know, a lot of people at times felt like golf relied too much on him. Have the ratings, you know, is the U.S. Open ratings, do you believe, does it all depend on if there's a good race on Sunday, or are they automatically going to take a significant hit because Tiger's not involved?
There probably will be a bit of a dip. You know, you'll get that non-golf fan that that just like to watch Tiger because he or she like to try and watch history unfold that doesn't tune in. But this is the U.S. Open, and I think the story, whether Tiger Woods was in the field or not, is always going to be about Phil Mickelson, especially this week. So if Phil Mickelson should get in contention on Sunday, I think the ratings will be just fine because he's the story there this week, six times runner-up. It's a tournament that has always eluded him. You know, he was very close in 1999 at Pinehurst, losing to Payne Stewart. He's been agonizingly close before, including last year at Marion. And it's all or nothing for Phil Mickelson. And I think that the course sets up great for him because he's probably got the best imagination and one of the best short games in the world. So I don't think ratings will take too much of a hit if Mickelson is in the thick of it on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, that's a PR dream right there. A couple guys I'm wondering about, if you've seen them, how has Bubba Watson looked, and how about Matt Kuchar?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bubba Watson, this is the best U.S. Open venue that he could ever hope for.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the big four-inch rough and tight fairways that we're used to seeing at a Wingfoot or an Olympic Club the last few years. You know, it doesn't really have rough. It's got what they're calling native areas where the ball might run through the fairway into what's kind of a wire scrubby type of grass that you might get a good lie, and you might not get a good lie. And, you know, I mentioned Phil Mickelson's creativity. Maybe number two when it comes to creativity is Bubba Watson. So, if there was any U.S. Open venue that he was going to be able to attack, I think it's this one. And as far as Matt Kuchar, I mean, it's steady as she goes for Matt Kuchar. I mean, he's auto top 10 almost every week he plays, and he's one of those guys that you would put on the list of best players in the world not have a major, and he's, you know, is knocking on the door and played well at Augusta, so certainly I think he's got a chance. And I'll just throw out one other name that I would not sleep on, and that's Jim Furyk. I mean, he's won a U.S. Open. The tougher the golf course, the better he plays. He is number one on tour right now when it comes to scrambling.
Well, Jason, the fun starts tomorrow. We appreciate it. So who are you? Is Furyk your pick to win?
I like McIlroy, but it's kind of one of those all or nothings with McIlroy. He's either going to, you know, win or blow up. so I would take McIlroy, but I would hedge my bet with Furyk because I'm almost certain that he'll be there on Sunday in some way. And listen, as a golf fan, I know we're not supposed to cheer for anybody, but I would love to see the story play out and see Phil Mickelson finally get his U.S. Open. He's been there so many times. I think it would be great, and I think it would be a fantastic story.
Well, definitely I could see that, especially, you know, with Payne Stewart and the 15-year anniversary of that. I know Phil finished second then. There's been a lot of talk about it, so it should be very interesting and potentially very emotional if he does win it. Jason, we appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.